Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IndoStar Capital Finance Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aryan Sumra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call for IndoStar Capital Finance Limited. Due to unavoidable circumstances, Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan couldn't attend the call. To discuss the quarter's results performance, we have from the management team Mr. Randhir Singh, Executive Vice President, Mr. Jayesh Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Srijit Menon, CEO, Nivas Housing Finance Private Limited, and Mr. Pushkar Joshi, CFO, Nivas Housing Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks, and we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aryan. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q4 and full year FY25 earnings conference call for IndoStar Capital Finance Limited, and I sincerely appreciate your continued support on our journey. I am Randhir Singh, Executive Vice Chairman of IndoStar Capital Finance. I trust you had the chance to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which is available on our website as well as on the stock exchanges. With me on the call today are Mr. Jayesh Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, who recently joined us in March, Mr. Srijit Menon, Chief Executive Officer of our wholly-owned subsidiary, Nivas Housing Finance Private Limited, formerly known as IndoStar Home Finance Private Limited, and Mr. Pushkar Joshi, Chief Financial Officer of Nivas Housing Finance Private Limited. Before I get into the core agenda items of the call, let me introduce our new CFO, Mr. Jayesh Jain. Jayesh brings over two decades of experience in leading and transforming lending businesses with a proven track record of driving profitability and operational excellence. He has played a crucial role in strategic growth, financial optimization, and business transformation at leading HFCs and NBFCs and fintech companies like Gruh Finance, PNB Housing Finance, Hero FinCorp, and Balance Hero during their critical expansion phases. I have no doubt that his deep expertise in cost efficiency, risk management, and capital allocation will accelerate the evolution of IndoStar. A quick overview of how we have structured this call. I'll begin by giving an overview of the macroeconomic factors and critical industry trends. After this, Jayesh will share the Q4 FY25 earnings update for the standalone parent entity. Srijit will then provide the Q4 FY25 earnings update for Nivas Housing Finance Limited. Post this, we will open up the call for questions. Here is a quick overview of the broader macroeconomic variables and industry landscape over the last quarter. India's economic landscape has displayed resilience. Our economy grew at 6.2% in Q3 FY25. Analysts expect FY25 annual growth numbers to come in close to 6.5%, making India the fastest-growing large economy in the world. To continue supporting the growth of the economy, the Reserve Bank of India's Monetary Policy Committee delivers a second consecutive 25 basis point cut in repo rate on April 9, following an earlier cut delivered on February 7, bringing the overnight bank lending rate to 6%. Turning to the commercial vehicle industry, while the new commercial vehicle market in India contracted by 1% in the fiscal year ending March 2024, an estimate suggests the market remained flat for the fiscal ended March 2025, driven by an election year which saw a slowdown in government spending on infrastructure projects, coupled with rising prices of new CVs, which now meet emission standards at par with Euro 6 norms. The outlook for FY26 is positive, with a 5% increase in new vehicle sales expected this fiscal, following two consecutive years of declining in flat sales. The cuts in interest rates, which are expected to be delivered to retail customers over the course of the next 6 to 9 months, will help in financing of new trucks and will likely spur sales. Demand for used commercial vehicles has been steady over the last fiscal and is expected to remain high in FY26, given the high cost of buying new commercial vehicles and the implementation of the scrappage policy for the very old vehicles greater than 15 years, which is forcing transporters to trade in their older trucks for the newer models of UCVs. The economics of buying an older vehicle continue to be compelling, with EMIs being up to 50% lower for an older vehicle with similar tonnage. As we reflect on the past year, I want to highlight the key achievements, challenges, and focus areas for the future of the standalone Indostar Capital Finance business. Looking back, while we experienced some softness in business and collections during the year, we delivered strong AUM growth of 21% and PPOP growth of 23%. Last FY was our third consecutive profitable year, strengthening our market perception, especially among lenders. Our distribution network has expanded significantly with the addition of 54 new branches in Tier 3, 4, 5 towns during the year, allowing us to penetrate deeper into the market. Our strong relationship with lenders helped reduce our incremental borrowing costs, a trend we expect to continue. We onboarded 6 new bank lenders during the year. During there, the company also launched its maiden retail NCD issue of 266 crores, which was well received by the debt market investors and helped us open a new source of raising funds. A major milestone this year also has been a transition to a multi-product branch model. We did a successful launch of Micro Lab business last year. This will make our branches multi-product like some of our peers and allow us to grow AUM without incurring additional branch infrastructure cost. We launched this business in Tamil Nadu last year in 62 of our existing vehicle finance branches. We are building a low LTV secured granular book by lending to underbanked and underserved micro enterprises in semi-urban and rural areas. Our average ticket size in micro life is less than 6 lakhs. LTVs are below 50%. And tenor of 5 to 7 years, and yields are about 22%. And in 90% plus cases, we get self-occupied residential property as a collateral. We have built a local team of 300 plus people focused exclusively on micro lab business. We are not using DSAs in this business, and 100% origination is direct. As of March 2025, we have close to 1,000 borrowers, AUM of 50 plus crores, and while portfolio has limited seasoning, we have no overdue customers. Our monthly disbursement run rate is about to touch 15 crores, and we would target crossing 300 crore AUM by March 2026. We are also seeing early encouraging response in the potential of cross-sell of this product in Tamil Nadu to our existing vehicle finance customer base. Seeing the early success, we are looking to launch the business in at least one more state this year, again using our vehicle finance branch network. From the day zero in this business, we have launched 100% end-to-end digital journey with various API integrations for this product. As we have used our existing LOS and LMS, there has been no incremental technology cost for this business. We look to eventually launch this business in all the 23 states we operate in, but of course in a very gradual, calibrated and thoughtful way, making Indostar a truly multi-product retail NBFC. That said, I think next year our AUM on this product would be less than 5% of our total AUM, but this is a journey towards a multi-product retail NBFC. Last year, we have also evolved from being a predominantly CV lender to a diversified vehicle financier. In FY25, 35% of our disbursements came from non-CV segments like farm equipment, passenger vehicle financing, construction finance, demonstrating early success in our diversification efforts. While we made substantial progress, some challenges remain, and our operating performance lagged some of our well-performing peers. Management team considers this as an opportunity. Our historic cost base, cost-to-income ratio of about 17% has been high. To address this, we have launched an internal cost optimization project where each cost line is being critically evaluated for the value creation. The goal is to become lean and efficient and achieve cost-to-income ratio in the 50% range. While we refine our cost structure by eliminating wasteful expenditure and automation, we will continue to invest significantly in people and processes, including MicroLab, as we are confident that these investments will yield long-term benefits. Looking ahead, we are well positioned for sustained growth, supported by strong capitalization, CRR of about 28.5%, and low leverage, about 2x. Our 446 branch network is expanding strategically to increase reach and operational efficiency. Moreover, beyond our headquarters, our experienced leadership team is present across areas, regions, and zonal levels, further strengthening our capabilities. Given the large total addressable market, we aim to capitalize on emerging opportunities effectively. Several factors continue to work in our favor. We have a highly experienced and dedicated team supported by robust systems and processes, ensuring smooth operations. Our AA- rating and large capital base further reinforces our financial stability, allowing us to approach growth with confidence. As we set our focus for next year, we are proactively addressing collection softness witnessed in our and few other peer NBFCs portfolio by credit policy adjustments. As our branch count increased by almost 150 in the last 2 years, along with significant manpower increases, we would look to grow our AUM in FY26 by 12 to 15% and enhance the profitability. Additionally, we will leverage our 3-year profitable track record to strengthen ties with the PSU banks and institutions, providing the company with more funding options. We'll be replacing our historical high-cost debt repayments of around 800 crores in Q1 FY26, which carries a coupon of about 12% by fresh borrowings at around 10%, which is a reduction of about 200 basis points. Our profit maximization strategy will eliminate wasteful expenditure while streamlining operations. Over the next 3 years, we remain committed to sustainable business expansion and increasing investment in branch infrastructure. Strengthening our multi-product branch model will remain a top priority. Another key focus area is bridging the gap between our best performing peers and us, ensuring we remain competitive within the industry. With our strong capital position, we do not anticipate any need for additional fundraising over the next few years. Let me now hand over the call to Jayesh to walk you through IndoStar's operations and financial performance.
Thank you, Randeep. I appreciate the warm welcome. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Let me begin by sharing an overview of our quarter 4 and FY25 numbers. At a consolidated level, asset under management stood at 11,053 crores, which is a 4% increase from 10,624 crore in the previous quarter and a 26% growth compared to 8,763 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. Total disbursements during the quarter amounted to approximately 1,535 crores, slightly lower than the 1,572 crores disbursed in the preceding quarter. Our retail lending strategy continues to yield positive results, with retail loans now comprising nearly 95% of the total loan book. For the quarter, our consolidated net interest income came in at around 175 crores, representing a 4% rise over the previous quarter and a substantial 36% increase compared to the same period last year. Net interest margin is marginally up around the mark of 6%. Consolidated operating expenses stood at approximately 157 crores. We reported a consolidated net profit of about 36 crores compared to 27 crores in the preceding quarter and 35 crores in the same quarter of the previous year. Collections during the quarter reached 1,356 crores, up from 1,265 crores in the previous quarter. Now I'll talk about standalone numbers. On a standalone basis, ICF's AUM touched 7,963 crore, reflecting a 1% increase quarter on quarter and 23% year on year. Disbursement for the quarter amounted to 1,081 crores as compared to 1,191 crores in the previous quarter and 1,465 crores in the same period last year. Average disbursement yield stood at around 18.5%, supported by continuous focus on Tier 3, Tier 4 towns, along with an expanding mix of secured lower ticket size vehicles, including cars, pickups, light trucks, and small commercial vehicles. As a result of this strategic focus, our average ticket size has steadily decreased over the last 5 quarters, dropping from 8.2 lakhs in Q4 FY24 to 5.7 lakhs in Q4 FY25. Moving to the net income, our net total income for the quarter stood at 181 crores, reflecting a 0.4% increase from 180 crores in the previous quarter and a significant 22% decline compared to the same period last year. Last year, we had a one-time gain from redemption of SRs during the last quarter, which led to kind of this decline. Operating expenses were approximately 120 crores, down from 121 crores in the previous quarter and up from 112 crores in the same quarter previous year. Our capital adequacy remains strong at around 28.5%. Our debt-to-equity ratio is at approximately 2x, providing ample room for future expansion. During the quarter, we repaid 1,161 crores while simultaneously raised around 1,198 crores. The overall cost of funds was about 11%, while the incremental cost of borrowing in Q4 was 10.3% XIRR. Over the past fiscal year, we successfully raised over 5,284 crores at a notably lower rate as lender confidence in us has grown. Overall, it is encouraging to see improved fund inflows coupled with reduced cost of borrowing. We remain committed to further reducing our incremental cost of funds on a quarter-on-quarter basis. In the upcoming quarter, our strategic focus will be on significantly increasing borrowing through banking channels. Collections for the quarter totaled around 1,166 crores, up from 1,092 crores in the previous quarter. Talking about collection efficiency, EMI to EMI collections remained steady at 91%, while EMI plus overdue collections improved to 97% compared to 95% in the previous quarter. This improvement, though seen mainly in the later part of the quarter, is a positive sign for the future. Collections performance over the previous 2-3 quarters had been impacted by multiple external factors, including severe heat waves, prolonged monsoons, and broader economic sluggishness. While we saw a recovery in the second half of this quarter, addressing the issues in the harder buckets from the earlier period remains a challenge in the short term. As a result of the efforts made by our collection team, our gross stage 3 stood at approximately 4.52% and net stage 3 assets saw a slight decrease to 2.46%. Overall credit cost for Q4 remained flat at 2.75% vis-a-vis previous quarter. With a stable asset quality, decreasing funding costs, controlled operating expenses and growing AUM and interest income, we anticipate stronger profitability in the upcoming quarters. Now I would like to hand over a call to my colleague Srijit Menon, who will provide more details on the housing finance business.
Thank you, Jayesh. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start by giving key highlights for the quarter and the year ended March 31st, 2025. Financial year 24-25 was a satisfying year for us in many ways as we continued delivering strong and sustainable growth. With regard to our asset book, we crossed the milestone of INR 3,000 crores as we closed this financial year at an AUM of INR 3,091 crores, which is a growth of 36% on a year-on-year basis. During the year, we disbursed loans worth INR 1,208 crores, which is 29% more as compared with the last financial year. We managed to achieve strong momentum in the last quarter, where we disbursed INR 453 crores, which is almost 50% more than what we disbursed in the last quarter of the last financial year. Our active customer base now stands at more than 38,460 customers, depicting a granular nature of our assets with an average ticket size of INR 9 lakhs. Our core geographies of Tamil Nadu, AP, Telangana and Maharashtra continue to contribute more than 85% of our portfolio. This financial year, we focused on sweating our existing branch network to improve efficiency and productivity. Accordingly, we added only 17 branches in this financial year, expanding our presence to 141 branches as on March 31, 2025. These efforts yielded the desired results in the form of improvement in OpEx to AUM ratio by nearly 1%. We witnessed a marginal increase in our 90+ days past due and GNPA levels. Our 90+ day past due continue to be under 1% at 0.99% as on 31st March, which is an increase of about 16 basis points as compared with 0.83% in the previous year. Our gross stage 3 assets, GNPA, stood at 1.35% as of March 31, 2025. On the borrowing side, we raised a total of 1,229 crores during financial year through multiple borrowing channels such as bank loans, NCDs, PTCs and NHB refinance. The liquidity position remains strong with about 200 crores in cash on the balance sheet and undrawn sanctions of about 167 crores. Now let me move on to our financial performance. Our total income for the quarter 4 of FY25 and year-ended FY25 stood at INR 122 crores and INR 409 crore respectively. Our pre-provisioning operating profit stood at INR 37.7 crores for Q4 and INR 105.6 crores for the year-ended FY25. Profit after tax stood at INR 23.7 crores for the quarter and INR 67.8 crores for the entire year. Our return on asset as a consequence of this stood at 3.2%, and our return on equity stood at 11.1% for the year-ended FY25. We maintain a strong capital adequacy of 49.8% and a debt-to-equity ratio of 3.4 times. We will continue to drive innovation, efficiency, and maintain a high asset quality, which are cornerstones of our success story. Looking ahead, we remain focused on executing our strategic initiatives to further enhance operational excellence, expand our customer base in our chosen geographies, and explore opportunities for growth. We are optimistic about the future and remain dedicated to delivering sustained value to our investors and our stakeholders. Thank you once again to all of you for your continued support and participation. With this, I hand over the call to the moderator for further course.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on good performance. My questions are the following. I just asked them in sequence. Collection efficiency seems weak for the March quarter, given the fact that traditionally it is a very good quarter, so especially in the CV business. So are you still seeing some economic lags? So that's question number one. Question number two is on, you know, there was sale of assets which you did even in Q4 of CV assets, which are stage 3 assets. Was the entire amount realized in cash, and is there any progress on the previous security receipts that you had, you had done because of sale of the, closure of the older businesses and sale of assets? The third question is on Micro LAP. Can you just detail out what segment, what ticket size, any color would be useful? And the last question, I'm just doing it in sequences. In terms of Brookfield, just in case there's more equity required for growth, I know there is nothing required in the near term because you're well capitalized and there'll be proceeds from housing finance business. Will they maintain majority stake or at least maintain management control? So these are the questions that I have. Thank you.
Maybe I'll just take the third question first on the Micro LAP. We did cover this during my speech. Essentially, we're looking at lending to, micro enterprises in semi-urban rural areas. Average ticket size of about, less than 6 lakhs. Most of these enterprises are essentially in services business. It could be a Kirana store. It could be a small dairy business, a sweet shop, a tailoring business, a carpentry business. So these are the traditional, very, very local businesses. And our lending is going to be on a 100% secured basis with fairly low LTVs. Our average LTVs are below 50% in the segment, with yields of about 22% plus some processing fees. And we are giving our loans of about 5 to 7 years. Like we mentioned, the plan is to essentially grow this business slowly and thoughtfully, but essentially use our same infrastructure that we have created for vehicle finance business for this business so that we have no incremental operating cost or even technology cost, because we're really using the same systems. And that really is the thought behind this multi-product model. Wait, does it answer your question in MicroLab, or would you want more details?
This is fine. This is perfect. Thank you. It gives a broad overview. I guess we'll just wait for a few more quarters for execution. Thank you.
We will. Like I said, that, you know, this is really a good start. What I would like to say is we made a good start for this business with good sort of productivity, low bounce rates, of course, zero DPD, but these are early days. The book is not seasoned. So, but like I said, early indicators are quite good. On your capital question, there is, I think we have more than adequate capital, right? So we do not see any near term, and when I say near term, I think for the next 2-3 years, we do not need any need for equity capital, right? So I think we'll have very strong balance sheet, especially after we get the proceeds from our HFC sale. And where, as we mentioned in the last quarter, we did receive RBI approval. We are awaiting NHB approval, which should come in a few days. So I think we are looking at inflow, very, very soon, surely within this this quarter.
Vivek, thanks for your question. I will respond to the other two questions on our collection efficiency. As you would know, in Q2, the collection efficiency had significantly gone down. In terms of a CV, it had actually gone down on a EMI to EMI to around 88-89%. And now this has kind of picked up, and it has reached to early 90s, 91-92%. Yes, there is some bit of a work which can be done and which would be done to improve this further. And overall, at a overdue level, the collection efficiency is at 97%. In terms of your question on SR, the SR outstanding today is at around 1,387 crore, and during the quarter we made an additional provision of 10 crore. With that, the PCR on the SR stands at around 26%. Thank you.
So there's no progress on resolution of SRs, is it? In the sense they remain, because it's been there in the books for a while. And also, the other question was the CV portfolio that was it sold for cash fully?
So in terms of a resolution, there is no resolution which is there. As I said, the incremental provision was only required at 10 crores only. So that kind of is performing well, and the money is coming out. In terms of incremental SR, the incremental SR which was done done in 85-15 structure, which was there.
And Vivek, let me just quickly add. I think we did inform that in the last we did monetize some of our SRs which were sold back to the ARC. So that was one large resolution. And what we basically see seeing is some of these are on, as we had indicated, the earlier calls, was in the real estate project, wherein it is a slow but steady, cash that we keep receiving on a month-on-month as well as a quarter-to-quarter basis. In fact, one of our large borrowers did pay about 100 crore plus, which was also, with one of the ARC transactions. So, yes, this is a slow burn, but it is in line with, what we had planned, what we had projected. These are real, projects as the construction is happening. We're doing slowly but steadily, we keep getting the cash. So you would see this. So there is no, we cannot show a large drop in just, in 1 month or one quarter, but as you see the trend over a period of time, you would slowly and steadily see that reduction. And as Jay just explained, we are very adequately provided for the exposure. And this really, like we explained, this really is the last bit, you know, that we have.
Thank you very much and wish you all good luck.
Thanks, Vivek.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sambit from INR Bonds. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on the quarter and thank you for taking my question. My question is, does the company have any plans for the coming fiscal year to raise funds via NCDs?
Yes, we do have. In fact, what we're seeing is that while we are adding bank lenders, of course. We added 6 bank lenders last year. We added 1 financial institution. Yet what we are seeing is that we are actually getting a very good, getting very good attractive rates in the NCD market. And that's why we continue to sort of access that. As we speak, our cost in the NCD market is actually lower than the bank borrowing. So while we are growing our lending from the bank, keeping long-term view in mind, our cost of NCD, you know, sort of has really, really come down. And I would say it has come down by almost 2+% over the last few years. So yes, the simple answer is yes, we will continue to access NCD market. It's a bullet repayment typically for 2.5 to 3 years, which is great for our ALM, and it is available at a lower cost.
Okay, thanks. I just have one more question. As we see in Tamil Nadu ordinance that's also followed by Karnataka, do you see the other states to follow, and will it affect the collection efficiency going forward?
We don't know what will happen to other police states, but I think as we've seen, this is obviously not really applicable for lenders like us. And typically, after, few days of, sort of confusion and, chaos, I think people then do realize that this is, those circulars are meant for unorganized lenders and not for formal lenders like Indostar.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Monshri Soni from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what is the asset quality outlook for the UCV industry, next year? Secondly, once the warrants conversion happens and also the money from the housing finance business comes in this year, how are the NIMs and cost of funds going to look like for this year? And thirdly, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that the cost of income will eventually move towards around 50%. Could you just explain that more? And lastly, what is your aspirational ROE for the next few years? Yeah.
Okay. So I think, I'll cover your question in the order you asked. On the first was your question on the asset outlook for the UCV industry. So for the next year, so when we look at, the trend that we're seeing, that we saw over the last year, where the last quarter was obviously showed much better trend. When I also looked at, some of the commentary, provided by our peers, I think they are really saying the same thing. So, I think across the industry for all our peers who have declared the results, I think the consensus is that the next year does look, much better over the last year, and that trend is very clearly visible in the Q4 numbers as well. So that was the first question. And I think on the warrant conversion, NHSC said obviously essentially we will get a lot of cash, right? So I think the net result of that would be that we will use that cash essentially for the business, which is really for disbursement as well as for loan repayment. I think we have significant, we will actually have a significant interest cost reduction, because in the past few years back, our cost of funds was quite high. In the next quarter, in this quarter itself, which is the Q1 FY26, we have about 700 crores of maturity, and that itself we can replace by almost 2% lower interest rate. So, you know, all this cash helps us in repaying our high-cost borrowing, and I think it also gives us an option because we will be borrowing less. We have additionally an opportunity to have more time in negotiating with some of our lenders better terms, right? So I think overall, this should lead to significant cost reduction on our borrowing. And we are seeing that if you see our results over the last 1 year, you would actually see a quarter-on-quarter reduction in the overall borrowing rate as well as on the marginal cost. On the ROA and ROE, obviously the aspirational target for us, of course, has to be, you know, what some of our peers have demonstrated. And most peers in our industry of our size typically have an ROA of about 2 to 3%, depending upon their life, you know, life stage, how much they are investing in the growth, etc. And I think average ROAs obviously range between, you know, 10 to about 19%, right? So we would like to obviously be in the top quartile aspirationally as far as this industry is concerned. And you would
largely just on the cost and income.
Over the first year, yeah. Hi, I hope it answered your question.
Largely just on the cost of income, eventually move to 50%. Could you just explain that a bit more?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question? You're not very clear on the call.
On the cost to income side, you mentioned in your opening remarks it will move eventually towards 50%. Could you explain that a bit more?
Sure. So I think, we will. So essentially there are a few drivers for this. One is obviously as you would know that we have invested significantly in manpower as well as branches. We have opened about 150 branches in the last 2 years. We have invested heavily in people. Now, some of that investment is yet to obviously fructify because it would fructify, of course, in terms of growth over the next few years. That itself, additional AUM and the loan growth and the income growth obviously will improve the ratio. Second big lever is, our cost of funds. We are seeing consistent, reduction in our borrowing cost, and we are onboarding more and more lenders. I think it's fair to say that for a AA- company, we can and we would expect much better rate, borrowing rates over the next few years, and that will have a significant, improvement in our cost income ratios.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, Maitri, please go ahead.
I have two questions. Firstly, on the AUM growth side, you said that we'll be growing by around 12 to 15%. Could you like split it between your two standalone businesses, the IFC side and the HFCFI?
Okay, Srijit, you want to talk about HFC growth first?
No, I think we demonstrated a growth of about 32% CAGR over the last 4 years, and I think we'll be well above that number on the HFC.
And for the standalone, we are targeting somewhere between 12 to 15% growth for the parent company.
Okay. And you said that our cost of funds will come consistently be going down for the next few quarters. So any idea where they'll like stabilize and what percentage will they like be stable at?
Yeah. See, I think in the Maitri, I think in the long run, given our AA- rating, we should essentially be borrowing, right, once things normalize in 9% handle. So that's really, you know, that's really what we are aiming for, you know, to achieve over a period of time. And then I think the previous question was really on the warrant and large proceeds from our HFC sale, and these things will certainly help in that journey.
So around 9%. And do we see passing any of these benefits forward to the yields, or our yields will remain stable?
So I think we're not, I mean, you know, I think this journey from, let's say, from today's level to 9% will happen over a period of time. And I think as part of the journey, as we've seen for many other lenders, you do get an opportunity to actually target some of, you know, the segment which earlier you did not want to target given that NIM. So I think we will obviously calibrate. Some of this can be obviously, you know, can be used to access another segment without compromising on the NIM.
Yeah, that is all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Varun Gajaria from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set. So just a quick question on the AUM. I could see that the AUM has grown barely by around in early single digits. So if you could just shed some light on why that might have happened.
Yeah.
In this quarter, particularly.
Yeah. Thanks for the question. Like you mentioned that given some of the softness we were seeing on the collection in our portfolio as well as for the broader vehicle finance and NBFCs in general, on a selective basis for few profiles, we have tightened our policy. That has resulted in some drop. And like we said, as we are seeing that as the collections improve, of course, this we will obviously go back to the previous policy. But in the short term, it did have an impact on our disbursement, and which is something we did as a proactive measure.
Okay, so
please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, please continue.
Yeah, and like I said, given our large distribution of data that we've created over a period of time, you know, 450 plus branches in 23 states, we obviously have all the firepower to notch it up, you know, as we get sort of, you know, comfortable, you know, with the macro, which is already happening as we described in the last quarter. You know, we're already seeing, you know, very good trends on the collection, not just for us, but for most of the vehicle finance NBFCs.
Just to add to what Ranjit said, the AUM growth also got impacted because of the ARC transition and the DA which we did in the quarter four. So that's how, if you look at it, while the disbursement was noted as Ranjit explained, but considering these two transactions, the AUM growth remained almost flat.
And then this was also, the DA is also fairly, one of the transactions was actually done with a very strategic intent in mind. We do have assets which qualify as, you know, agri PSL, and one of the PSU banks, you know, obviously requested that, you know, that if he can sort of, you know, do a small transaction which helps them meet PSL targets, you know, with the intent to obviously provide us longer term financing. We obviously went ahead and agreed with that request.
So what kind of provision coverage are we looking at? I suppose right now we'd be at around 47%. So, and historically we've been doing around 55%. So if you could just shed some light on that.
Sorry, I'm not able to hear very well. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, am I audible now? Is it better?
Yes, this is better. Please carry on.
Yeah, what kind of provision coverage are we, provisioning coverage are we looking at? Because currently I can see that we are at 47% for FY25, while historically we've been doing around 55%, 54-55%. So what kind of provisioning coverage are we looking at in coming years?
Yes, this is Jayesh. Thanks for the question. We understood the question. So if you look at it, last year our provision coverage ratio on phase 3 used to be around 60%. This was more to do with the older assets and the older stress assets, which got addressed during the year. And now large part of the provision coverage is with respect to our core business, which is CV business, and the provision coverage is around 47%. The ECL, as you know, is a mathematical and statistical exercise based on the money which is received from the customers on the bucket 1, bucket 2, and bucket 3. So that's where the provision coverage is assessed. Over last three quarters, the ECL coverage is around 47%. In our estimation, going forward also, considering the recovery and the business growth, this should remain within the range of 47 to 50%. Further, in terms of company's policy, at a periodic interval, we kind of continue to revisit our model and revisit the provision coverage. And in case if we see any stress or any improvement, that we will change it on a case-to-case basis.
Yeah, we do have...
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line seems to have disconnected. Please stay connected. Ladies and gentlemen, the management line is connected.
Sorry, we dropped off. We don't know where we dropped off. But can you hear us, sir?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yes.
So I think what you were explaining was that we feel very comfortable with these numbers because, you know, like I was explaining that on the stage one, stage two, our provisioning is on a conservative basis when we compare also with our peers, as well as the overall, you know, 3.3% again is on a conservative basis, basis. So I think, yeah, we do feel comfortable with these numbers.
Okay, sir, at the start of the call, you mentioned, we're talking about the SRs. Probably give me a little more clarity on what is the SR outstanding currently and how much does that reduce from the recent sale of stressed assets?
So the gross value of stressed assets outstanding as on 31st March 2025 is 1,387 crores. On that, we are carrying a total ECL provision of around 365 crore, which is around 25-26%. In terms of the SR resolution, we continue to work with ARCs, borrowers to speed up our realization on the real estate projects or monetize the SRs through any other means. So as was explained by Randhir in the earlier question also, SR continues to have our focus and we continue to explore opportunities to see that how do we kind of realize it very quickly. Having said that, the current realization in terms of these SRs has been as per plan and there is no need for extra provision. These are adequately provided for.
Okay, so the recent sale of assets that you mentioned in the presentation, that was from the SR only, that was from the SR book? Yeah.
Yes, that was on the SR book. Which was in the 15% cash sale basis.
And another example that we provided was that we sold our SR to the ARC cell because they were comfortable with the progress of that particular project. That was the previous quarter.
Okay. And so you mentioned that that the UCV industry is now picking up. Should look better. So probably can we expect that next quarter in terms of disbursement should be better?
I mean, typically, in terms of trend, you know, what you would see is the first half is slower, right? For most of the financiers. But yes, in terms of trend, we should see an uptick.
All right. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Gandhi from Astralite Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Chirag.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Apologies, my line got dropped in between, so I don't know whether this question has been answered or not. So my question is around your AUM guidance of around 12 to 15%. So my thought process is that since we have a lot of liquidity on our balance sheet post, let's say, the sale of our housing finance company, so what restricts us from doing higher growth, let's say around 20-22% versus the 15% guidance that we have given? And just a one more call question to that is, what explains the drop in risk for this quarter? Yeah, these were the two questions. Thanks.
Yeah, I actually we did cover, but we'll you know, we'll sort of quickly sort of answer your question. So I think yes, we there is not, you know, there's not the what we explained was that there's been no liquidity issue anyways. You know, even in the past we had sufficient liquidity, and HFC of course just sort of gives us much more firepower in terms of our future growth. It also helps us improve our cost of borrowing. The reason for slightly lower expectation and guidance release, like we explained, that we did take some policy measures on the, you know, and tighten some of our filters selectively in few geographies, because we just and this was done seeing the trend in the market, not just for us, but for NBFCs in general. And those filters may remain in place for, you know, 1-2 quarters. And that really is the reason for slightly lower AUM target, you know, for this year. Goes without saying, unfortunately, we'll try and maximize our growth.
This explains thanks. And one more question is on your multi-product approach. So like last year we started with Micro LAP as a segment. Which are the other products that we are looking to start in, let's say, next couple of years?
These are the only two. So we will not, I think, you know, both our current product set, which is vehicle finance as well as Micro LAP, I think they offer a really large addressable target market. And I think the LAP segment itself in sort of these ticket sizes is fairly large. As you can see, you know, from many of the regional NBFCs who may be concentrated in just, you know, few geographies. And we obviously have operations in 23 states. So we do think that, you know, these two products should be sufficient for our growth ambition over the next 2 years. So I, in other words, no plan to launch, let's say, a gold loan business or a personal finance business. I think we'll just stay focused on these two because they offer a great sort of opportunity, and both these are, you know, there's a lot of adjacency, not only in terms of, you know, the geographies, which is really essentially semi-urban, rural, tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 towns, but also in terms of profile, which is essentially, you know, assessed income, lack of documented income, or even sometimes, you know, formal, you know, access to borrowing. So I think these two segments for us have kind of natural adjacency and complement each other.
Understood. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Punjabi from Ionic Assets. Please go ahead. Mr. Kunal's line may seems to have disconnected. Moving on to the next question, we have Anuj Agarwal from AA Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Anuj, please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Anuj, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, Anuj, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Anuj, Mr. Anuj's line may have disconnected. The next question is from the line of Vibha from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I have one or two requests on data. One on your liability side, can you please start including a slide on asset liability maturity profile? So that one knows that what are your inflows and outflows. In any case, you give it in your annual report as per RBI disclosures. And the second thing is that, you know, the focus, I would say unnecessary focus on the housing finance business. As you said, that you're just waiting for NHB approval. So as far as investor of Indostar, I'm just concerned with your standalone performance. So I'm actually surprised you talk about consolidated performance. Is there a doubt that deal will not go through? And if there is no doubt, then possibly you should be focusing more on standalone performance and, you know, how much inflows are we getting from the deal? Those are two observations. And third, I'm just trying to reconcile that how much funding would you need if we see in terms of asset growth, you said 10 to 15% AUM growth. So that's about incremental 800 to 1200 odd crores for assets. I don't know what are the maturing liabilities, if you could throw some light on that. And how much would be the inflow from the deal and what would be your incremental net borrowing for the coming year?
Hi, hi, Vibha. Thanks for your question. So, Vibha, statutorily, we are required to declare results, for our subsidiary. This has got nothing to do with our confidence of receiving the money. In fact, we share the information that, RBI approval has already come. And I think in the beginning of the call, maybe you missed it, that, HB approval is expected any time now. And we did guide that we should surely receive the inflow in a few days and surely this quarter. Right? So we do think that, this should happen, very, very quickly. So there is, at least as a management team, we have no doubts. We would, thanks for the suggestion on the ALM, we will include that information. Yeah. And I think as far as incremental borrowing is concerned, I think we're very, very well placed. We're very well placed. Jayesh, you want to provide the numbers?
Sure. Considering the expected inflow, which is a large on the HFC sales, and considering the 12-15% AUM growth, we would probably need to raise incremental fund of around 4,500 to 5,000 crores, considering the asset growth and the liability repayments.
4,500 to 5,000, Jayesh?
Yes. We will have a liability maturity.
I think maybe Vibha is asking what will be the net increase in the borrowing. So Vibha, the numbers that we're telling you
is
the gross number. So in the sense that
I understand. So there is a lot of maturing liability.
Exactly, and we also have significant cash flows every month, right? So between principal plus.
Yeah, can you please upload your ALM as an addendum?
Sorry?
Can you please upload your ALM asset liability maturity profile, because that will give those numbers.
Sure, Vibha, we'll explore or maybe otherwise one-on-one separately we'll speak to you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we will end the call. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MUFG Intime India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.